Time for the Hamilton Corner with today's guest host, Stacey Washington.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
It seems to me we learned at the end of the Cold War, the degree to which the Cold War rivals in the Eastern Bloc, like Honecker in East Germany, what they really wanted was recognition by the West. They wanted to be able to go to the White House and be received with honors. Could it be that what Kim Jong-un really wants is respect and the prestige that comes with sitting across against the greatest leader in the world, the President of the United States? Could that be the carrot?
Chris, he definitely wants respect. There is no question about that. But I would caution everyone not to get overly enthusiastic. I think we are excited now because, again, in the contrast between this negotiating and fire and fury, you know, military action, which is what we were hearing out of the White House, is scary. And so we're happy that we have engagement. But if you remember what Vice President Pence said coming back from the Olympics, he said, we're going to look at engagement and maximum pressure. And I think it's really important to remember, I mentioned earlier, twice before we've been here with the North Koreans where they offered to freeze their nuclear weapons programs, right? And twice before we actually let up on our sanctions and the negotiations fell apart. The North Koreans pocketed what we gave them, the assistance and various other things. Yeah. And they left the negotiating table. So I really believe that while we should absolutely go forward and we should pocket the concessions we can get from them, and we should negotiate in good faith, but we need to keep the pressure on. We can't agree right now that we're going to take the pressure off, because otherwise.
But this time, we're not putting coal. We're not giving them coal like the last time. We're not giving them stuff like the previous
right.
president.
We're not taking them off of the state-sponsored terrorism list, right?
So I agree. So what do we got to lose by talking at this point?
Nothing. We absolutely have to talk. And I agree with Joe that, you know, we buy time. We buy time. And if what they really will be satisfied with is respect and normalization, great, we can give that to them. But we have to maintain the pressure, because remember what got them to the table, the sanctions and unfortunately probably some of the bluster coming out of the White House.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Stacey Washington. I'm host of Stacey on the Right on Urban Family Talk and American Family Radio, and I'm your guest host again today. Abraham will be back with you on Monday, and it's happy to be with you on a Friday, listening to, as we're coming in from the top of the hour, Evelyn Farkas of MSNBC, basically characterizing the bluster that the president utilized to get North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un to the table to talk about his nuclear proliferation aims. Unfortunate. I don't see it as unfortunate at all. It's not the kind of language that we would regularly engage in, the kind of name calling and, you know, jabbing that he did on Twitter. But it apparently has brought at least some sensibility to Kim Jong-un in that he doesn't want to be removed. And we have, as a nation, removed other dictators before, Saddam Hussein, anyone, and others. So we know for a fact that he doesn't want that. He wants to remain in power and continue to pass the power down in his own lineage. So that means he's got to figure out a way to, number one, stall us out a little bit so he can finish his program. And number two, get to the table and perhaps make some kind of a deal that he probably won't actually adhere to, but will at least give him the opportunity to, hey, I engaged the president of the United States. Hey, you know, we're at a place where we're discussing things. We're working on things together. And it gives him an opportunity to remain in power. So, you know, that is what it is. Today on the show, on the Hamilton Corner, we're going to be talking about the difficulties of having Caitlyn Jenner, who is still a man and will always be a man because, you know, genetics don't change. Biology doesn't change. DNA doesn't change. And CNN referring to him as a woman and calling on him in instances like yesterday's International Women's Day to kind of get his opinion on what's wrong with women, what's tough for women. Basically, he's a women's expert, but he's not a woman. So talk about that a little bit. And then I have a little audio for you in the third segment that shows that the movements that the president is making with North Korea, he's held these same views since at least 1999. And so the joy of the internet and YouTube and all of that has again, brought us to the fore and enabled us to be able to listen to President Trump back when he was a private citizen talking about these issues. And so we're going to listen to that in segment three. Right now, I want to just give you an update from the Office of the Press Secretary. The president today signed into law H.R. 1725, which requires the VA to report on the progress of an initiative to improve processing of certain veterans' claims for disability benefits. H.R. 3122, the Veterans Care Financial Protection Act of 2017, which requires the VA to publish on its internet website a warning about certain financial and legal practices that could alter a veteran's eligibility for benefits, and H.R. 4533, which designates the healthcare system of the Department of the Veterans Affairs in Lexington, Kentucky, as the Lexington VA healthcare system and makes certain other designations. So I'm a veteran. My husband's a veteran. And so these kinds of announcements about the VA, I find them to be particularly interesting because of the malfeasance that we've seen out of the Veterans Administration and the need for reform over there. And I've interviewed VA Secretary Shulkin before, and he is, in my opinion, expertly qualified to tackle the reforming of the VA. And I think he's going to do a good job of it. He's already got a good start going. So right now, I want to move over to some encouragement. And the verse for this is 2 Timothy 1:9. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So I just always get a lot of encouragement from, first of all, the knowledge that God intentionally saved us and that he's so interested in us. You know, God unto himself, I'm sure he's infinitely fascinating, and he really doesn't have a need for us particularly, except that he chooses that and he desires a relationship with us, which puts us kind of in the catbird seat because human beings can choose not to have a relationship with God. He doesn't force anyone. We're not Stepford children. We're not automatons or robots. We get to decide. And when we, and obviously we can never deserve it, but when we do decide that we're going to have a relationship with him, we understand that the grace of his own purpose, that this was given to us before we were ever conceived or formed. And it goes back to other verses in the Bible where he talks about us being knitted together, and that he knit us together in our mother's womb, that he knew us before the very foundations of the earth. He's always been looking forward to our existence and having a relationship with us. And that's kind of awe-inspiring. So we can't begin to understand before the beginning of time, but we can say thank you for that. And so I want to give, like, it's obviously it's a sample prayer, like a framework for us to kind of use over the weekend as we're going about the different things. Because I'm hoping it's going to be warm enough for me to go out and do some kind of gardening this weekend, even though, you know, it's March. It's not exactly the springtime yet. We have a couple of weeks left yet. But as we go about doing the things that we do on the weekends and enjoying that, we can keep a prayer of thankfulness in our minds about how wonderful it is to be known by God and to have him to desire to know us and to offer and extend to us his grace for our lives. So we have to remember this, and our duty is to respond to his graciousness and his love by living a holy life for him. And so that looks, you know, it's a personal decision. It's the things that you feel like the Lord is telling you, let's not do that. Let's do this instead. And it's about the walk. When we walk with him, we grow up in him, and he teaches us what it is that he would have us to do. So we can say, thank you so much, Father, for knowing me and thinking of my needs, even before the formation of the earth. And then we can dedicate ourselves to him, offering our day and our lives to him on a daily basis and reflecting on him and his righteousness, honor the glory that is God. And then all of these things praying them in the name of Jesus. And this can be our quiet, you know, quiet reflective prayer, because we often think we have to stop what we're doing and pray. And that is appropriate. But during the day, as we go about our tasks, it's appropriate also to have those on the fly prayers. Help me, Lord, you know, help me to know what to say. Help me to, you know, in this situation, give me your peace, Lord. Or thank you, Lord, you know, not just for the really close park up to the close of the building where it's raining and you want a close park so you don't have to get wet. Those are great too. But thanking him for even those kind of difficult situations. I find God gives me a lot of grace in situations where it's a difficult situation and I thank him for it. I'm like, oh Lord, I guess you're going to have to show something right here, right now, because this looks pretty tough. And that's when he really swoops in as if to say, yeah, I heard that too. Here you go. And so it's always good to remember that and to be reminded of that. I often want to be reminded of that by people in my life and, you know, circumstances. And I have a reminder on my phone set in my calendar I have one fasting one and one is a prayer one. And when I see it, because it gives me a little alert on my phone, like a notification, then I can remember in that moment to pray. And I read a book. I didn't pull it out for the show today because it's been such a day. Those who listen to my program have been listening to the continuing saga. The oldest daughter the first, is heading off to college in the fall. And so we've been visiting colleges and we thought we were done with all of that. And we were in the decision phase. And the Lord said, not exactly. And so we visited hopefully what will be the last college today. And then we raced back to St. Louis so I could do my program at 2:00. And then I had just an hour and now I'm back on the air with you. I'm grateful to be here, but it's one of those days where I could have pulled this book out for us to share. And maybe I'll just post the title on Facebook when the show is over and you guys can check it out. Stacey on the Right Show on Facebook. But it's a book about how there's a man who wrote down he wrote a journal and he wrote about living a life of prayer and how he went from praying long periods of time in the morning and at night to praying continuously throughout the day, and how his walk with the Lord became so much stronger and he grew closer to him through that. And it's an older book, but it's a book that our pastor recommended to us, and I got it from the bookstore and read it and then realized that this is a lifestyle that we are to adopt. And it's one way to honor God and to really be grateful to him for what he's given to us in his grace and his mercy and all of the things that he does for us, seen and unseen, the way he orders our lives and he works things out for our good, is to continually have that dialogue with him throughout the day, because he does want us to rely on him and to cast our cares upon him, which also alleviates us from it's something we can get stuck in, a rut that we can kind of get mired up in, which is complaining. And so complaining is where you're actually just speaking out your problems into, you know, other people's unsuspecting ears instead of saying, Father, this is what I'm concerned about. Help me. And it can be that short. And our pastor at our church, he always says it's those short prayers. God values those just as much as when we, you know, you consciously make an effort to, you know, kneel and actually do a prayer that sounds, you know, fantastic. Those are great. But God also values the conversation that we have with him on the fly and when we rely on him in everything. And when the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, I think we hear that and we're like, yeah, when I have big problems, I go to the Lord. But he's also concerned with those smaller problems as well. And I've been seeing, for me specifically, kind of big answered prayer in those smaller things. Because to me, it's a big deal when God answers a teeny tiny prayer, because that means he's totally listening, which I know, but I constantly have to be reminded of. And he's so good about that. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Good stuff. All right, when we get back, we're going to have that audio of Caitlyn Jenner talking like he's a woman with the voice of a man. Stay right there. We'll be back with more Hamilton Corner after this.
a long-awaited homecoming. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Tonight in Iraq, an entire family is staying in their newly repaired home. This includes Kalissa, her husband, their four kids, and a granddaughter. They are grateful for running water and working windows, and most of the time they even have electricity. This home actually belongs to Kalissa's father-in-law because theirs was completely destroyed during the fighting. Now they are able to rebuild their family business of selling paint and locks. This home is just one of nearly 700 that are being restored in the Nevada Plains with the help of Liberty Relief International and our partners. Each home represents a family who has committed to rebuild their community in Iraq. Consider asking God how you can partner to make an impact in the lives of these families in the Middle East. Learn more about Liberty Relief International at our website, libertyreliefinternational.org. That's libertyreliefinternational.org.
You shall not murder. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. This is the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. We are asking schools all over America to put this on their marquees, put this on their signs out in front of their school for 1 week to remind America's students that innocent life is precious. Help us spread the word about this campaign to your friends and family. Please go to our website, afa.net, and sign our open letter to America's schools. We need to proclaim this message, "You shall not murder," across the land. Why? Because gun control alone will not solve matters of the heart. We need our young people to understand that murder is a violation of God's law, and also it's a violation of the laws all across this land. So help us. Go to afa.net and spread the word.
I would have no clue what's going on if I don't listen to AFR, and it prompts you to get in the fight.
We're collecting stories of how God is using American Family Radio.
I've got so much out of AFR and strengthened my faith. I've truly turned my life around.
Take a moment to share how God is using American Family Radio in your life. Call our listener story voicemail at 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
Women and men alike find themselves in despair after an abortion. Every woman who had an abortion was for a short time a mother. Every man a father. But afterwards, they're all people in pain, anger, sadness, relationship problems. These often accompany an abortion. But there is hope. Call 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who has already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
My path to womanhood was very different, and through that process, I think I learned a lot about women. Women are kind of brought up to be kind of a second-class citizen, emotionally weaker, physically weaker. I've always been inspired by strong women.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Pam will be back with you on Monday. I'm Stacey Washington, host of Stacey on the Right, here on the same networks. And my show's from 2 to 4 p.m. every day. And I'm just listening to, that's a man voice, right? And that voice is talking about the struggles of womanhood. Now, girls aren't raised to be weaker than men. The physical attributes of women are something that that's why they call us women, because we are different than men. It's a biological inherent difference that is fine. And I don't understand this sudden railing against what God made. That's the first thing. And the second thing, we're not raised to be more emotionally attuned. It is a natural attribute of women, and it is to be celebrated. And so for someone who's supposed to be so glad to be a woman and to be celebrating it, he didn't sound happy to have all of these traits ascribed to women. And he doesn't share those traits. And why should he? He's not a woman. Okay. So you guys can call in and chat about this if you'd like. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And I'd be glad to take your calls and listen to what you kind of your feedback on the fact that CNN decided to include Caitlyn Jenner in their coverage of the International Women's Day. And so what they're doing is they're setting up this situation where he gets to speak for women. And you would think that women, especially feminists, would be extremely insulted by this, but they've been duped. And I said they, because I'm not a feminist. These women have been duped into accepting the illogical circumstance of men behaving as women, some of them taking hormones so they can appear to resemble women. But in the end, you can't undo the genetics. We've seen this with all of these sports things in high school. You have a boy who decides, I'd rather compete against the girls. Therefore, I'm a girl. And they beat the stuffing out of the girls in wrestling and in track and field and you name it. They're running against and racing against and competing against young women. Now, remember, Title IX was meant to add girl sports and make them on par with boy sports by giving them the same level of funding. And the government did that because they wanted to make sure that if they're going to have a boys basketball team, they should have a girls basketball team so girls can compete and enjoy the many benefits of team sports in school settings. Well, now that whole thing has been turned on its head because, you know, it started with girls wanting to play on football teams, girls wanting to play on boys only teams. And that's where this all starts. And I think it's kind of unpopular to point that out because most people don't want to connect the fact that it was women who first said, these girls teams aren't enough for me. I need to play on a boys team. And it was the parents of these girls who indulged them and permitted them to not only shoehorn their way onto these boys' teams, but then some of the boys' teams, the football teams, were integrated, and then, of course, they went away. And other teams, one girl gets to run on the team, and so it changes the dynamic of the game for all of the boys on that team, thereby lessening their ability to enjoy the sport that they've chosen to play, because boys want to play sports against girls or against boys, not girls. They don't want to play rough sports where they could hurt people and have girls be in the mix where they know the speed, the stamina, and the strength are not equal. So after we have all of the girls jumping onto the boys' football teams and things like that, the transgendered kids were like, well, I don't just want to jump on a team of the opposite sex. I want to be a member of the opposite sex, and then I want to also play on those sports teams. And some of the memes that were floating around earlier this week after the most recent transgender boy beat on girls wrestling, but he's still a boy and he's wrestling as a girl and he's beating all of the girls. And you can see in the images that he is extremely muscular and much thicker. In his limbs are much thicker. His trunk is much thicker than the girls he's wrestling. Of course he's going to beat them. What other outcome could there possibly be? But he's not a girl. So again, not fair to the girls that they have to compete against this biological male. Where does it end? I mean, a lot of parents have, as we have, we're not in public schools anymore, but it's a circumstance that we're having to confront more and more often. So let's talk to listeners about it. It's always so fun to speak to the Hamilton Corner listeners. Melissa from Texas, welcome to the Hamilton Corner.
Hi there. I guess my main comment is just how incredibly furious I am that Caitlyn Jenner would say that women are brought up to be weaker emotionally. I guess I don't understand why people seem to think that expressing emotions makes one weaker, when in fact I believe that the fact that women generally are more empathetic and sympathetic with others actually makes us much stronger.
I think there's a argument for both. And thank you so much for calling, Melissa. You have a great point, and I share your outrage. And I think when we say it makes us stronger or weaker, we kind of fall into their trap, which is they want to only compare men and women in ways that either put down men or put down women, when the attributes that we have that are unique to our gender are God-given attributes, and they are positive because they satisfy a need and a role. And so God understands the nature of men and the nature of women, and we're complementary. So the emotional I say it's an affinity, but it's really, some people call it an emotional intelligence that women have, is matched up by the kind of, it's almost a logic to a fault that men have. And so together that satisfies both sides of that equation, and it makes for, it's a complete package. And so I hesitate to say that women are stronger than men because we're more emotional. I prefer to kind of describe it as something that's complementary. Women have, you know, a strong suit with emotional receptiveness. We can actually feel when other people are having a problem. When other people are upset, we sense it first. Men, I've actually noticed my husband and our son and other men can be around someone who is upset and not be aware of it. When I come into the presence of someone who is upset, I immediately am aware that they are not happy or that they're exuberant. Whatever's going on with them, I can almost feel it around the corner. It's crazy, but I know I'm not the only woman who can do that. And then it's the same thing with my husband, where I'll be poring over a problem and I'll go to him and say, should I do this or this? And he'll say, well, of course you should do neither of those things because X. And as soon as he says it, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. And then I'll go back and think it through. And, you know, it's not that I can't figure out problems on my own, but there are some things where pure logic is the answer. And I can always rely on my husband to give me that. It's never about feelings. It's never about considering this or that. It's just the logical answer is. And so men have that as a strong suit. I just hate it that we have to compare ourselves because of people like Caitlyn Jenner and the leftist movements that pit us against one another. It's how about just women are more in tune with their emotions and are willing to show those emotions publicly. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there are some men who are like that. And I don't really think it's to be frowned upon unless it gets to the point where, you know, men can't control their emotions. And you know, so anyway, I want to get to our next caller, David in Texas. David, thanks for calling the Hamilton Corner.
How you doing today?
Good.
Well, I don't know if it's anybody else has had the confusion about this whole thing where they the transgender delusion they have about how they say scientists and doctors have got it all wrong with there's only two genders. But then when you bring it up about the Big Bang Theory, they talk about how they can't be wrong. So how can they not be wrong in one thing, but they're wrong in so many other things? I don't know if I'm the only one that saw this.
Again, the men always bring the logic. You're absolutely dead on. It's the same thing they say with laws. Have you ever noticed how when the leftists are describing what laws can't do, they'll say, we can't outlaw abortion because people will just keep having abortions, but they'll be back alley and they'll be unsafe. We have to have abortion be legal because laws don't control people's behavior. But then if you say new gun laws won't work, they'll say, what's wrong with you? You hate children. You're a terrorist. We need more laws. Well, criminals don't obey laws, and law-abiding people who choose to break the law also are well aware that killing people is illegal. So it's the same type of thing. And we can find like tons of examples of that. In most cases, liberals believe laws are effective for laws that they want, but they don't believe in laws for things like illegal immigration, voter ID, abortion, you know. So there's it's just this weird dichotomy that they have, and it doesn't make any sense. Todd in Louisiana, thanks for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I want to make one comment about transgenders. God doesn't make any mistakes. Your DNA says who you are. So if you have girl's DNA, you're a girl. If you have guy's DNA, you're a guy. You can have as many operations as you want. You can take how many hormone shots you want. And you can see when you hear Caitlin talk, it sounds like a guy. You said it. Mm-hmm. Okay, one more mm-hmm. thing. Until God's creation, which is us, starts listening to the Bible, nothing is going to change. Because, you see, we don't agree that the Bible is the true written word of God. Because if we did, then we'd listen to it. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, sister. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Todd. Thanks for the call. And I want to, everything you said about the DNA is irrefutable. It's science. And I don't like arguing against what God made. So, you know, kudos for that. But I think the comment about us not agreeing that God's word is inerrant and it's true, you know, that goes to the heart of how do we make changes and how do we see changes in our society. And I love reading, you know, these brilliant self-help books and books that talk about changing behaviors. But I always keep in the back of my mind that if I really want true lasting change, I have to give it to the Lord and then listen for his voice, which may very well be read this book and, you know, follow the instructions therein. But we have to go to the source if we want to see our society improve. And so, you know, all the gun laws in the world are not going to stop America's boys from realizing their position in our society has been compromised by the breakdown of the family. And they're lashing out. These boys are shooting up schools because they've been bullied or because they're, you know, both of the parents died in Nicholas Cruz's case. And he was already really, really troubled, an adopted kid from Russia who had attachment disorder. I mean, there's so much to these stories and they're heartbreaking, but there are ways to make change for the better in our world. And it starts with us Christians. We have to pray. We have to repent. We have to turn away from our sin. We have to ask for the Lord to breathe revival into this nation. And, you know, it's for people who are doing all that they can or doing their best, you know, amen to that and let's keep it moving. But for those of us who are Christians and we're living in compromise or we're not praying, we're not attending church, we're not, you know, taking care of ourselves first. In other words, worry about yourself, take care of what's in your four walls first, giving your life to the Lord, committing yourself to him, you know, abolishing anything that doesn't line up with his word. Then we're going to continue to see those who are unchurched. They're going to continue to take the bar lower and lower. And we don't want to lower ourselves to meet that. We want to keep the bar high, which is God's word, and keep training in on that. And it's a struggle for every Christian, but that's sanctification. And we know God rewards obedience. Let's talk to Sue in Texas. Sue, thank you so much for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Hi, it's always a pleasure whenever you're on for Abraham. I love him to death, but it's always just refreshing to hear you. I'm originally
Thanks.
A St.
That's
Louis
really
girl,
great.
So transplanted down to Texas, so it's always cool to talk to somebody from St. Louis. I wanted to mention what you said about prayer, and I wanted to thank you because so many of my Christian friends talk about, you know, oh, I go to the Lord in prayer in the morning when I get up, or, oh, I go to the Lord in prayer in the evening. You know, I spend an hour, and I'm like, I don't do that. But I do pray during the day. And I'm like, am I wrong? What is wrong with me? Why do I not do what these other people do? So what you talked about, saying the small prayers during the day, kind of made me feel a little bit better about how I do my prayer. And my grandmother, when I remember her as a child, she always was kind of like whispering. And she wasn't crazy, but I used to always think, what is she doing? Because she whispered all day long. And I realized as I got older, she was praying. She prayed all day to God. She talked to God about every single thing that she did. She had 37 of us grandkids to pray for, so probably took most of her day every day. But I do appreciate what you said about prayer. And I'm going to look
well,
up that
thank
book
you.
When you put it on Facebook.
Yes, yes. And also Growing in Prayer. I'll put both of those up right after the show. I'll put those up there. Growing in Prayer is where I learned about the constant prayers all day as well. It kind of both of those books reaffirm that. And I would say if you get the Growing in Prayer book, it's like to me, it's the encyclopedia of prayer. It's the go-to resource besides the Bible for prayer. And it is such a helpful book for whatever your method is. And I know people who do it both. They're big time prayer warriors in the morning, and then they do constant prayer during the day. Some people, they prefer to pray over their days at night and, you know, for in preparation for the next day. I wouldn't say any of it's wrong, but I would say not to feel like one person's way is your way. You do what God says and talk to him when it's good for you. Just be committed to doing it on the regular basis, that appointment and talking to him during the day. It's great. Great. These are great calls. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll be back with more Hamilton Corner right after this.
Hey, my name's Brant. You ever make a change and then wonder, why didn't I do this a long time ago? That's what's happening for thousands of people with regard to their health care. They're joining MediShare, and then they're wondering, why didn't I already do this? For most members, it costs less than half what they were paying for their old health plan. There's a huge provider network, too. You can customize your plan, and this is awesome, MediShare members can go online with a doctor 24/7, so if you need a prescription for the flu or something, it's so convenient for you and your family. So yeah, this is one of those, why did I wait on this things? And if you don't love your current health plan, you're not stuck with it. You can join MediShare anytime. By the way, to give you an idea, the typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. It just makes so much sense. Check it out. They're super easy to talk to. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Birds of a feather can flock together, but just not on board jetliners. United Airlines banned a woman from boarding a flight the other day with her emotional support peacock. Yes, good listeners, a peacock. These days, airports look more like pet stores, emotionally troubled passengers hauling around all sorts of furry critters. Apparently, traveling with an exotic animal helps them cope with the stresses of life. It's out of control! So much so, Delta had to implement a new policy, banning ferrets, spiders, goats, and animals with hooves. And why, pray tell, would they have to issue such a policy? Because somebody boarded a jetliner with a pony! Some poor soul had to fly the friendly skies with Mr. Red. And you know the horse was reclining his seat all the way back. I mean, what's next? Snakes on a plane? I saw that movie. It did not end well, America. The country's gone plumb nuts. Slap crazy, folks. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
I would negotiate like crazy, and I'd make sure that we tried to get the best deal possible. Look, Tim. If a man walks up to you on a street in Washington, because this doesn't happen, of course, in New York, but if a man walks up and puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money, wouldn't you rather know where he's coming from before he had the gun in his hand? And these people, in 3 or 4 years, are going to be having nuclear weapons. They're going to have those weapons pointed all over the world and specifically at the United States. And wouldn't you be better off solving this really potentially unbelievable, and the biggest problem? I mean, we can talk about the economy, we can talk about Social Security. The biggest problem this world has is nuclear proliferation. And we have a country out there in North Korea, which is sort of wacko, which is not a bunch of dummies, and they are going out and they are developing nuclear weapons. And they're not doing it because they're having fun doing it, they're doing it for a reason. And wouldn't it be good to sit down and really negotiate something, and ideally negotiate? Now, if that negotiation doesn't work, you better solve the problem now than solve it later, Tim. And you know it, and every politician knows it, and nobody wants to talk about it. Jimmy Carter, who I really like, and he went over there. It was so soft. These people are laughing at us.
Wow, that's President Donald Trump back when he was a regular private citizen in 1999 discussing his thoughts and feelings and analysis on the status of the relationship between the United States and the dictator at that point, which was still a Kim, a member of the Kim family, and the way they were kind of taking advantage of America's leadership. 1999, just you know, in case you're wondering how long he's held these views or if he just got a thing for, you know, stopping them from having nukes and having kind of a really negative posture towards them. He's been waiting for all this time to implement this plan of his, which is to either negotiate with them or shut this guy down. So let's go back to the phones. I'd like to talk to Dwight in Texas. Hey, Dwight, thanks for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Well, I'm doing just fine. I hope you're doing well. Anyway, I just don't understand why any feminist group would want Caitlyn Jenner to speak to them.
I'm with you.
when I use the word we, I mean the United States. I don't think we should have to pay to have someone change the way they feel. If we do, I feel like a millionaire, so they need to change that for me. And I also think that the Wheaties company is probably really sad about Caitlin. But anyway, go ahead and speak. I'm in the grocery store now, so I'm going to have to listen to you on the phone.
Okay. All right. I got to say, you're right, Dwight. First of all, Wheaties is regretting all that money they paid that man because they really paid him a lot of money to be their spokesperson. And second of all, you know, I often feel like a millionaire as well. But then I check and that's not me. So if we're getting made into whatever we want, I'd like to be an astronaut. I'd also like to have a little more money. I don't need a million, but a little more money would be great. And there's a few other things. Like, I'd like to be really thin. Like, I'd be the same size I was when I was 18 years old. And I'd like to also, maybe I'd like to even be 10 years younger possibly as well. Yeah, I'm just, you know, just saying. Anyway, thanks so much for that call. It's always nice to kind of make light of it because it is so weird. Earlier today, I was messaging back and forth with someone else who works here at AFA and Urban Family Talk. And I was like, what did I just text? Because we were texting back and forth about this very subject. It's weird times for us all, as he said. So Brad in Alabama, thank you so much for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you. And you're talking about the advantages of women with their emotions really struck a chord with me. I'm 69 years old and a physician, still practicing, and I haven't delivered a baby in about 30 years, but whenever I did, I used to pick it up and hold it up. I said, oh, it's a boy, or it's a girl. And the other 72 choices were not in my mind at all. Unfortunately, all of them were either boys or girls. But anyway, I want to say about my wife. It's very good at reading emotions, and the complementary nature of man and woman in God's plan is so great, because when I go to buy a new car or any large item, I take my wife with me when we negotiate. But she is my secret hidden weapon. She reads the salesman, she reads the situation, and she tells me what's going on because I ask her to. And she gives me an advantage these guys just can't possibly win at.
Wow. You should do like a YouTube series on that, because the rest of us could use to learn that. I'm very emotionally in tune. But first of all, your husband has to be willing to listen to, you know, you saying, look, he seems this or he seems that. And the other thing is you found a way to make something that some people would call a disadvantage. You've chosen to view it to your advantage and to utilize it to help both of you, because she gets the best part of the deal as well. When you make a good deal on a car purchase or anything, any major purchase, she gets the savings and the benefit of that as well. This is what I'm talking about. So you're perfectly demonstrating what I meant. The complementary nature is something that God means for us to use to our advantage and for us to flourish in, not for us to pit each other against each other and say, I'm emotional and that's better. You're not, you know, that type of thing, which I don't think the earlier caller was saying. But I do think feminists and the feminist movement tries to make us see the parts of each other that God created for our benefit and tear each other down with it. And I think that's really sad. You, sir, have found a way to make it work for you. That's fantastic. And the rest of us could take a page from that. Thanks for calling the show today. I want to go to, let's see, Ashley in Oklahoma. I don't think I already
said.
Hi. Yes. Hi.
I have never called in anywhere before, so this is a first. But I had to jump on and say, I am a Christ-following woman, and I have a daughter in elementary school who wrestled. And she wrestled her little heart out, and she had to wrestle all those little boys, because in our area there are not enough little girls who want to wrestle. Now, when she was getting older, her dad and I had a lot of discussions. Well, we kind of wondered if this was a phase. And then she did so well. She took third at state. That was when we lived in Wisconsin. And she was doing so well. We were like, ooh, visions of college. But the whole communication that her dad and I had was, the second that, you know, these kids hit puberty, God's differences start showing. They are no longer, you know, little girls and little boys. They are becoming women and men. And you were talking about the physical differences and the attributes and stuff. And women get a lot more lower body strength, if you want to look at thighs and stuff like that. And the men, their upper body and their reach is longer typically. And, you know, in elementary school, girls have a little bit of a taller phase that they hit first. But then it kind of evens out, and the boys just get massive, frankly. And then you have the other part is in wrestling, and, I mean, there are other sports and stuff where they get close, but nothing like grappling on a wrestling mat. I, frankly, and my husband agreed as well, do not want a little boy's face anywhere near our daughter's bottom or his part near her face. And that is, you know, some submissions style holds and stuff like that, they come into play, and you get all too acquainted with anatomy when you are in wrestling. And we agreed that if she wanted to pursue it further, that she was going to have to go to just an all-female bracketing in tournaments and stuff like that, because we were not going to approve of our daughter wrestling the boys for those several reasons. There's a disadvantage. There is the you know, the body nuances, and frankly, we want, as a competitor and an athlete, don't we want the best opportunity to present ourselves in the best of our field? And these transgender things and claiming to be something because you identify with it, you know, that young man wrestling all those girls, you hit that nail right on the head. There is no competition there. He was, you know, the die was cast in his favor. He had every advantage over those girls, and it was no longer a competition for them. And there, he even going home from being whooped by this boy, I mean, that can't go very well. And I frankly would have picked a fit and not allowed my daughter to wrestle in the first place, because it's a disadvantage. It's setting them up for failure.
Well, so I thank you for sharing that. I would not allow my daughter to wrestle, even in the younger years, to wrestle boys, mainly because of the things that you described. But clearly you guys prayed about it, and you felt like it was something good to do, and you don't plan to allow her to do it into puberty, which that would present a lot of very, very difficult type situations. You know, I think it's one of those things, at least for our family, where we would sit down and discuss things. And when the kids would say, I want to do this or I want to do that, there were times where even though it could be done, we would counsel against doing it, and the parents get the final say. And so, you know, sometimes it's incumbent upon us to make decisions. And then later, what we found with our kids, because now they're teenagers, is that there have been times where we've been like, yeah, go ahead and do it. And then later they're like, well, I don't even know why I wanted to do that. And that's a learning opportunity. But in other cases, we've said no, and we've really kind of had to put up with them being upset about it. But in the end, it doesn't really last very long, because kids are constantly growing and changing, and they usually move on from that thing that they're obsessed with at one point. But, you know, to each their own, every family has to make these choices for themselves. We're getting close to the end of the show. So, you'll have to go online in my Twitter feed. I believe I tweeted this Meet the Press interview with President Trump from 1999. There's a little bit more to it. We won't have time to get to it in the show, but I wanted to make sure that we got a chance to talk to some other people on the phones. Polly in Oklahoma, thank you so much for calling in to the Hamilton Corner.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just had a quick question about the transgender male that wanted to wrestle. When does it stop? When we make all these allowances for transgender, I understand they're people, but we also have children, but when we want to protect them, but when do we stop making these allowances for them and stop protecting our children? And I'll get off the phone so you can talk.
Sure. You know, that's the big question, because I think for a lot of us, we're not so much saying you can't do this or you can't do that. You know, every parent, you know, parents are going to make those choices for their kids. But it comes into play when we're talking about most of these situations, these kids who are transitioning, as soon as they make the choice, they want to move over to the other locker room, which exposes them to the other kids who are in there who are all the same gender. And if they haven't yet had surgery, which these are long, complicated processes that take, you know, sometimes over $100,000 worth of surgery and months and months and months of hormone blockers, and then additional hormones have to be taken. And these alterations and mutilations to the body are permanent. It's the psychological condition that's never changed, because they're not counseled to through the process. And really, honestly, you can't counsel someone through transitioning from one gender to the other. There's always going to be that DNA, scientific, the knowledge of who they are, that's always going to be there. And so that's why the suicide rate is so high for these kids. And so it's incumbent upon us. We have to be, again, we have to be praying about this. And Dr. Michael Brown, I actually got to interview him when I was filling in for Sandy Rios in the morning. And he has been really changing the conversation around how to deal with the transgender issue. He told me, he was actually spoke at our church that Sunday. And then I filled in for Sandy Rios and got to speak to him on the air right here on American Family Radio about his books and his ministry. And he was talking about how he feels the Lord has given him a special burden for the LGBT community and communicating with them and drawing them back into the fold so that they can repent and be forgiven and live in a right relationship with God. And it is hard because, as you said, they're people. So this isn't about hating people, but it is about trying to, first of all, you're trying to protect your own children. And you want other parents, because the studies show, I interviewed Ryan T. Anderson of the Heritage Foundation, prolific writer on these issues, and he talked about how every single doctor who counsels children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, whatever age they are, who have gender dysphoria, if the parents support the counseling process, the children will move through the process, and you can discover the moment when they felt like they weren't the right gender. And it usually has to do with an outside circumstance where they think they're not getting something because they're a boy, or they think their parents love their sibling more because the sibling is the opposite gender. And they're able to counsel the children into right thinking, and they happily live within their own skin without any of this other drama. So we have to pray that that would be the outcome more often, and that parents would exercise good judgment in allowing their children to participate in sports. And really honoring what God has made, because he doesn't make mistakes, and he has fearfully and wonderfully formed us and made us, and we are his creation, and we are to bring glory to him. And the only way to do that is by respecting what he's made. All right. It's been great to be with you. Happy Friday to you. God bless you over this weekend. I hope it's restful and every bit of the time that you need. And Abe will be back with you on Monday. Thanks so much for the time and the ears and the calls, and the team over at AFA. Thank you so much for the board operation and the magic. And check me out online. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.